Loving God, guide our thoughts and words today. You are the potter, we are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. People live out the gifts that God has given them in so many ways. For one group of women, they had the gift of sewing. So they got together and they sewed quilts for babies. And they would give these quilts to a place called the Crisis Nursery, which provided safe housing for kids who couldn't be at home, either because their parents had had medical emergencies or because it simply wasn't safe for them to be in their homes any longer. For another person, the gift was an amazing gift of storytelling. I still remember him standing in front of my fifth grade class reading a poem to us, and honestly, fifth graders aren't usually that into poetry. But he had that gift of storytelling, and he put such passion in it, and he was trying to encourage us all to read and to think about all the amazing adventures that we could have through the words that were on the page. For another group of people, the service that God had called them to was being at the altar at the end of a church service, so that if you had had a great week and you wanted to say thank you, God, you could go up and pray with them, or if you were going through a rough time and you needed someone to pray for you, they would pray for you at the end of the service. For one young man, serving was plumbing for Jesus, as he put it. He kept all the bathrooms working in our church during the school year, and then in the summers, he was one of the plumbers and contractors for Appalachia Service Project down in Kentucky. I think it was in West Virginia. They also have places in Kentucky, trying to help people repair homes, and in some cases, helping families get plumbing in their homes for the first time ever. There's an awful lot of ways you can serve God, and some of them are ways you might think of all the time, and some of them aren't. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at this concept of spiritual gifts, the idea that because God loves us, the Holy Spirit gives each and every one of us gifts so that we can serve God, so that we can serve God, so that we can equip each other to go out and serve our neighbors, so that we are all ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with our words and our actions each and every day. Some people have gifts that are great for here within church, gifts that help us worship, or gifts of teaching, gifts that build us up within these doors. Some of us have gifts that send us out into our wider community, into Sterling and Rock Falls and Dixon, and maybe farther to the ends of the earth. And a lot of us have gifts that are probably good for here and for out in the world as well. Now, most of the time when we preach or talk about spiritual gifts from the scriptures, we look at the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote quite a bit on spiritual gifts, and he frequently compared them all to parts of a human body that all needed to work together in unison, and that was the scripture one of the scripture passages that we looked at earlier in this sermon series. Now, Paul, I love Paul. Paul's just so darn human. And this is what I mean. Paul, when he would talk about spiritual gifts, would often give a long list of gifts that someone could have from the Holy Spirit. I wonder if he wasn't trying to say, I want to make sure people know exactly what I mean. So he would try to be specific and he would try to name all of the gifts. But the problem is when you try to name all of anything, you often forget something. So it's interesting to look at this passage from the first letter of Peter. I don't know if he actually wrote it first, or it's probably just first because it's longer, because that's the way they organize the New Testament. The longer letters come first for some reason. But at any rate, in this letter, we see spiritual gifts looked at in a different way. Everything in terms of a spiritual gift is grounded in love, and shouldn't it be? Christ tells us that the two greatest commandments are fairly simple. Love God with everything you are, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. And so in this letter talking about spiritual gifts, it pretty much says they all are grounded in love, and some have gifts of speaking, and some have gifts of serving. But there's no list of specific gifts here. It kind of feels like the author of 1 Peter was leaving it very open-ended. There might be an awful lot of ways that each and every person can serve. Maybe there's as many gifts that God gives as there are people on this planet, which is what, about 6.5 billion and counting at any given moment? The point is that if we let God's love guide us, God will give us these gifts, and we can use these gifts to build each other up. And maybe it's good that it's not just a list. Maybe it's good for us to have an open mind. I know when I first came in contact with the idea of spiritual gifts, I think I was 17 or 18. And unfortunately, before I took the test, or test is the wrong word, I believe they called it an inventory, to try and look at my life and think about what gifts I might have, I knew exactly what gift I wanted to have because I saw the list beforehand. Any of you ever really wanted to be like someone else? You really wanted the gift that someone else has? I mean, Dylan, I'm sorry. I am wicked jealous of your voice, man. I really am. For those of you who are musicians, Doug's not here today, but when, like, Doug played his guitar, I've always wanted to play the guitar. I knew people who could paint. I knew people who could draw. And you could spend your whole life thinking, why can't I be like them? But that's not who God made me to be or you to be. Spiritual gifts are not about us constantly thinking, why can't I have the gift of someone else? It's trusting that God has given us a gift and trying to figure out what it is and how to use it. And maybe people are getting new gifts all the time. We live in a world of constant change. We may not like the constant change in our world, but that doesn't mean we can stop it. Technologically, in particular, we're probably in a time where things change faster than any other period in the history of humanity. Maybe God is constantly giving new spiritual gifts to people so that living in this world, in this complicated world, we can reach out and share the good news of Jesus Christ and love people in Jesus' name. Now, we should understand a few more things about gifts. Just because you have a job to do, it doesn't mean it's your gift. How many of you have tasks you hate? I did one yesterday. I hate mowing the lawn, particularly when it's about 100 degrees outside, but I hate mowing the lawn. I know some of you probably love mowing the lawn, and more power to you. I hate washing dishes, though I've had to wash many a dish in my life. Sometimes there's jobs you just got to do because you got to do them. A spiritual gift is something different. It's not going to be drudgery. And it's also not going to be something you're not very good at. I've washed a lot of dishes, but probably because I don't like it very much, I'm probably not the best dishwasher in the world. I will acknowledge that. A spiritual gift is something that God gives us to do that we can do with excellence. And I want to offer this idea. A spiritual gift is something you can do with excellence, but then you'll get more and more excellent as it the more you use it and the more that God teaches you to use it. As the way one part of a liturgy puts it, you can go from strength to strength. You're already strong in this area, and God will make you even stronger so you can better serve God and better serve humanity. When we serve and when we use our spiritual gifts, we find blessing. Now, that's not to say that every time when we use a spiritual gift, it will be easy. I remember a hospital chaplain that I knew, and she had a profound gift for her ministry. She was wonderful at being a calming presence with families when they had a loved one in health crisis. She could be a calming presence in the hospital room visiting patients. She could be a sign of hope and a person of hope when she had to walk in to talk to a family that had just lost a loved one. But that doesn't mean that her living out her gift was easy for her all the time. I saw her cry tears after she would use her gift. Sometimes the gifts that God gives us and the ways that God calls us to serve can be difficult in the moment. But she said, I believe in what I'm doing because I see the fruit that God can bear because of what I'm trying to do to follow and serve God. When you find a spiritual gift, when you truly are serving from who God has gifted you to be, you'll find that sense of purpose and that sense of, I did what God needed me to do in that moment. And finally, we need to see the gifts in other people. Last week I talked about how can God help us find the gifts in our own lives. But sometimes the gift that we need to do is to say to someone else, you have a gift. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever realized it? I can think of one story in particular that was just powerful to see how a gift got manifested in someone's life. There was a woman who had not had an easy life. Her life had not been a bed of roses, or if it had been a bed of roses, there were more thorns than flower petals. You know anyone who's had a life like that? Maybe some of you have as well. But in middle age, she found a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. She committed herself to prayer and daily Christian meditation. And she and her husband really turned their lives around and got their lives on track. And you could see how Jesus was changing them and building them up in faith each and every day. Now, as this was going on, she attended a church that had a growing number of young people, people going into junior high school. They needed adults who were willing to work with the youth. Frankly, in my experience, sometimes people are a little scared to work with sixth and seventh graders. They shouldn't be, but let's be honest, I've seen people have some fear about that. But somebody said to this woman, "I believe you would have a gift for this ministry." And they invited her to take part of the ministry, and she said yes. Her gifts were a revelation. She was a wonderful listener. She was extremely compassionate. She could connect with young people on a level that no one else in that congregation could. Within months, not only was she ministering to the young people within that congregation, she was doing a ministry that was touching the entire community. And she was doing a profound ministry in the schools, connecting with some young people who were going through some really difficult times. Somebody said, "I think you have this gift." And she said, "Maybe you're right. Maybe I should explore this." And because of that, she was able to help change the lives of some kids. That's how it works. Sometimes we can help someone else see the gift around them. Or it could be that we are involved in an important ministry in this church or in this community, and we say to someone else, "I think you might have the gifts for this. Would you like to come and serve with me?" We can be a mentor to people. We can help them find their gifts and live into their gifts and do ministry that can build up the reign of God and share Jesus' love. If you see a gift in someone, please speak up. Please say to them, "You have this gift. God has made you to do something important." Let's try to help each other find our gifts and live them out. Each of us has a gift. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your health. It doesn't matter anything about you. You have a gift to share. So people of Wesley United Methodist Church and the guests who are with us today visiting, you are gifted individuals. Please see your gift. Please help others around you see their gifts. And let us all use these gifts to build up the loving reign of God that Jesus Christ came to teach us about. May it be so. Amen.